Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you here Thursday, March the 25th, 2021. 14 coming up on 15 minutes past the hour. And every month we have a visit from one of my favorite people. And with all kinds of stuff coming up this time of year, no time for a better visit. We have Tax Day coming up. We have Easter coming up. We have April Fool's Day coming up. We are now in spring as of just a few days ago. What a more perfect time to visit with author, television personality, radio personality, columnist, the undisputed queen of helpful hints, Heloise. Heloise, how are you?
I'm fine. Hey, if I happen to croak unexpectedly, would you come do my eulogy?
Well,
do it so well.
Well, if I'm available, I'll be right there.
I'll add in my will right now. First class ticket.
You know, it's funny, and I love our conversations like this. Have you, I'm sure you have you ever had to give a eulogy?
Two.
Yeah.
One was my father, the Colonel, Lieutenant Colonel Marshall H. Cruz, and my brother flew in from Arizona, and there were some other family. It wasn't a big group. It was like maybe 40 to 50, you know, which kind of thing. And a lot of what, this is what's interesting, and I think your listeners will find it interesting. You know, you've got these groups. Some of them were Daddy's military friends that he would golf with. And then some of them were two or three guys that they would go have, the men, dinner once a week so they could talk about the women. No, because they could talk about the golf course and the this and, you know, that kind of stuff. And I thought, that's a really good idea, because just because you're having a lot, you know, change the topic if you can, or throw out, like you do, a conundrum of a question.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
And well, this just strikes me interesting because, oddly enough, I have been asked to give quite a few eulogies. Mm-hmm. And now, not so many for family members, but I was asked to give my grandmother's. And,
oh.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, that was interesting. And this is a story worth telling, which I can do quick before we get on to the topics here. But the interesting thing about that was I didn't know I was giving it. Now, had I known...
This does not sound good, Scott.
Well, this is what happened. You know, in her... She died... She was older, obviously, or she wouldn't be my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
She died kind of unexpectedly, which was good. You know, she went quick and she was lived
yes.
a good life. But it was unexpected, and in any event... She had her stuff all planned out. She had her will, what she wanted at her funeral, what she wanted to wear. She had the whole thing. So one of the things she wanted was she wanted me to get up and read her obituary at the funeral.
Really?
Yeah. So I knew I was doing that because I knew that before she had. I knew that 10 years before she
yeah.
died that I was going to be doing that. So we get to the funeral. The showing, the night before the funeral. And the family's all there, and I knew I was doing this, so they said, well, does anybody want to get up? Because we just don't want to throw it open to the room, because it's a
yeah.
big family.
And let me jump in here right now for your listeners. That is a very important, poignant fact to remember. You have to remember, it's their family is what it's all about. Don't give them advice unless unless they've asked for it, or if they come to you and say, you know, I've never done this, I don't know what to do, and you can say, well, you a funeral home, a mortuary, this and that. And because if you've never done that before, some of my friends who their parents, you know, are dying off now, it was devastating to them. No one had said to them, you're probably going to have to do that for your mother.
Well,
but let me finish. Now, the funny thing, when you were listing off what your mother wanted you, grandmother, sorry, wanted you to do, okay, my mother, the original Heloise, she had planned her funeral. And frankly, I was very thankful, because when the tragedy happens, you know, I mean, I was 27 when my mother died. I didn't know what to do. When it happens, your brain doesn't quite function the way it normally does. And having a system or things that you're going to do helps plan. And if somebody says, oh, now what about this? Oh, I had forgotten about that. And then you basically have a map. So the funny part, my mother had planned her funeral, but she was Heloise. Okay. So, and she knew she had arteriosclerosis and one or two other things, and strong of will, but sadly weak of body, because she died young. So she planned her funeral. And I was like, great. Okay. She, the casket, which mortuary, those kind of things, you know. And when it came, I thought, well, I should be doing some of this. And I thought, no, because I wouldn't know what to do. And she was Heloise. So, the end of the story. My mother was an identical twin. Heloise, my mother, and they added the H to rhyme with hints from Heloise, and her identical twin sister, Louise. So they were Heloise and Louise. And I have to tell you, when Aunt Louise would come visit us, there are times I'd walk in the kitchen, and I'd known all my life that, and I'm like, are you mother?
Oh, absolutely.
So the fabulous statement that someone said, and take it, mother would have loved it. Somebody said, I think Heloise has faked her death to see how many people and how many flowers she got. And then, okay, so we're all in the church, and my father escorted Aunt Louise. Well, it looked like he was with his ex-wife, Heloise.
Ooh.
No, probably 80% of the people in the church did not know mother was an identical twin. And you could see them like, well, wait, is this a fact, and then once, later when everybody's, and this one guy came up to me, he was a banker, very, very dear, and he was very sweet to my mother. And he said, you know, sorry for your loss, and I said, hi, and I knew his name because I'd worked a little bit. And he said, I want to tell you, having your mother as a client far exceeds any expectations you can imagine. And he said, when she was planning it, she would explain to him why. She had a beautiful, my parents had lived in China for a while, and she had beautiful handmade Chinese clothes. And she said, I have a jacket I want to wear. And that's what she had on in her casket. And she had pre-planned also what jewelry, because you don't think of it, you know. And so later at the, the after party, the reception, someone came up to me. And I can't remember, I remember I worked with him in business, so I mean, he knew me a little bit. But he said, Heloise. Yes, I'm waiting for something, you know. And he said, I must tell you, I truly thought your aunt, Louise, was Heloise, and that she had faked her death to see how many people would show up and how many came to the funeral. course you would have.
Well, you know, I think we all would like to see our own funerals, if we could.
Yeah.
And, well, and this whole, and as I, my grandmother had planned it out, and it's a good thing she did because, she, like I said, it was very unexpected, even though she was an older lady. And her kids, she had four kids, they were all very upset because it unexpected does that.
When it comes out of the blue, it's a different type of shock to your system when it comes out of the blue like this than when you have had someone that's in the hospital for a while, or they've been in a nursing home. You know, that sort of hovers in the back of your brain. But something like this for your, and frankly, my mother, too, because she never talked about her health. And so the guy came up and he said, I gotta tell you, I thought that was Halloween.
Well, you know, this situation with my grandmother, it was so, she died on vacation. So
that sounds good to me.
Yeah, it was a nice way to go out. So we're at the funeral, and you know, people are sad, and I know I'm reading this obituary. So the minister comes over the night before, and he says, "Now tomorrow morning, does anybody want to get up and say anything personal?" Now two people volunteered to do this. So the family goes out for dinner that night. We knew who it was going to be, and we show up the next morning for the funeral, and right before the funeral, I went up to my mother, and I said, because I knew I was speaking, so I said, now, when am I getting up to read this obituary, and when are they getting up to do their thing? So she said, well, let me check. And she, of course, she's upset because it's her mother who's died. And all of a sudden, she comes back to me and says, they're too scared to do it now. And I said,
too scared to do what?
Get up and give a eulogy, I guess. So I said, well, somebody's got to do it.
Well, yeah.
Somebody's got to. And I said, well, I guess I'll. So I had planned nothing except reading the obituary.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually had to get up two different times during the service because they had planned it. And the best thing about it was I had nothing planned, but I got up, and at one point during the eulogy, because I'll tell you, a funeral crowd is a tough crowd, got up, and I said, and I don't remember anything else about it, but I said, because her kids are right there in the front row, you're looking at all of them, and it's my mother and my uncles, and I said, you know, she would never let anybody say anything negative about you, no matter how often I tried. And that got a laugh.
Really?
In the room.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, thank goodness, because that is worthwhile. But that's the only family one I ever had to do. And the other people I've had to do were colleagues, usually from radio, or well-known people in the community. Now, those are easier to do because you don't have a family connection with them, and usually you can just get up and tell. They want you to tell funny stories about them.
Oh, yeah.
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 So that's okay.
I mean, and that's okay, and for people listening, you know, now that we're talking about this, kind of in the back of your mind, ask yourself, well, is it going to make a difference? I'll be dead. My father would always say that. He goes, I've planned my funeral. He was the Air Force, the colonel. A pilot, and he said, I planned the funeral, so you know, so military. I loved my father. You know, here, and the guys from the card room out at Fort Sam Houston there, and blah, blah, blah. And I said, you got it. And that's all because those are the things he wanted.
Well, you know, I think about this, not that I plan on leaving anytime soon, but the two things that are important to me, I do want a eulogy because I want somebody, because I'm really not sure anybody, I've been to funerals where people got up who didn't know the people all that well, and I don't like that. So I just want somebody who knows me. And then the other thing is I want an epitaph. Because I know a lot of people walk in cemeteries.
Oh, yes, they do.
And I want something written. I don't want, you know, the date I was born, the date I died. People don't care about, you know, beloved this. That's nice.
Yeah.
But not for me, because I don't think people see that a lot. Mine, I have two, and I'm not sure which one I want yet. I would like either, because I'm indecisive, and I think, on the other hand, I should have lived. I'd like that one. Or I would like, I won't be back after this break.
Right.
So there you go.
Now, let me tell you about my mother's funeral. As I said, she had planned everything. Because she knew she had heart disease. And she did everything she was supposed to. You know, with the right diet and taking her meds. Her exercise was walking around the apartment. But she walked a lot. You know, but she knew because of her condition that it was probably going to be soon. And so that's why when she was telling me these things, I was like, Mother, I thought I was. And she looked at me and she said, Honey, I'm going to tell you. You don't have to do it. I won't know. But it's important for a couple things that I care about and want to share with the people at the service. So probably 80% of the people, so around 300 to 400, did not know Mother had an identical twin. And Aunt Louise walks in, they wore their hair the same lipstick, the whole thing, and she sat down next to my father, and you could hear people.
That is something to tip people off about, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, they would, my mother, my aunt would try to fool me. And they said, now I don't remember that when I was just starting to walk as a toddler, and the twins, as they were referred to, I mean, at their adulthood, they didn't always dress actually perfectly alike, but they liked the same fashions and the same colors, you know, kind of thing. And Mother had said, you know, this is the kimono robe I want. And she also had arranged with the florist that everyone leaving, there were two people on either side, and there were two exit doors, and they had buckets and buckets of beautiful red carnations. And one got, and they had a little ribbon on the bottom of it, and everyone got one of those as a remembrance.
That's nice. I think these things should be carried out. And you know what's ironic about this topic is that there are two things certain in life. One is death, and the other is taxes, which are coming up.
Yeah.
So tax day. What do we want to know about tax day? What
you
should
really
we
want to know?
Yeah, I know. It's been interesting the last couple of years.
Well, I can tell you that the most important thing is my birthday. It is. April 15th.
April 15th.
Yes. And but, you know, it's coming up quick. And particularly, I've been watching a lot of national news, and, you know, I read everything, that because of the horrific weather, you know, so many people and that kind of thing, I think, you will check on this, but I want to say it seems like the IRS was going to give people I don't remember the length of time, maybe it was a month or something, you know, if they asked for that, with no penalty. So, but do check before you do that. But I thought that was a nice thing for them to do, because everybody grouses about the IRS. It's like, do you want to live here or not?
Yeah, well, I think it's May 17th that they have pushed it out to, which is a good thing for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But I don't think a lot of people know that that has been done.
Well, you know, I had thought about that. You're right. So unless we talk about it, or other people do on air, or it gets in a magazine or something like that, or if they deal with an accountant or a bookkeeper, you know, the professionals will know. And one other point on that, too, is that if you have an accountant that does this for you or works with you, maybe you have a small business, maybe you are semi-retired and you have a part-time business of, you know, building wackadoos, talk with a tax attorney first. It will save you a lot of headache, And lots of times, a lot of money. Because they will bring up questions to you that you probably haven't thought about. Well, what about insurance for this? Well, yeah, we have insurance on the Florida shop. And how many people are going to work there? He's like, well, this is 4 to 5, you know. And he said, okay, this is very serious. You know, that flower shop will probably survive if there's someone who cares about it. And later this morning, she said, you know, I never would have thought about it. And she said it made it warming, a hug to her personally, because she felt she was carrying on a tradition, a lifestyle, a history of that family.
You know, what you said is so true in any business that somebody operates, that if the people care, it probably will survive. But if you half do it, you know, it may survive, but there's certainly no guarantee if you're half doing it.
But what I always say is, it's like planning a safari. You know, let's get out the legal pad and start the first thing. Who's doing the obits is going to go in the paper? Which cemetery? You know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Do you hire limousines, or would everybody have their car? You know, that kind of thing. And when you go, I used to do this when I did a lot of my presentations, my speeches. And I'd look at that list, you know, 10-point outline. And I'd look at it, and I'd put it away, and I'd look at it, and I'd go, you know, that doesn't work here. And then you may think of something else. But the most important thing to remember, it's the loved ones who are left behind will appreciate a nice word or a cute card 6 months from now. That's pretty much when the dust settles. And if it's a spouse, you know, then they're in it all by themselves. You know, it's a lot different. So, and there's a lot of very, very good, reliable help out there.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and also I want to give this advice to people. When a business has been going on a while, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years, if you are the only one who is keeping that together, sometimes you just have to eventually, or you're going to have a stroke. You just have to say, you know, either these people have to pick up some slack here, or this is going to go away. Mm-hmm. I did my best.
Right. And that was, I mean, I'm in a unique position, you know, because my mother was Heloise, and she knew what she was doing. Is I started working with her out of college, and I graduated with a double major in business and mathematics and a teaching certificate, because I wanted to get back, because her health wasn't good. You know, I just had this you know, this something. And so when you're thinking about it, that it's a way to say goodbye with the right tone. You know, we're going to miss you. We've had so much fun with you, or we learned this, or something other like that. So that 6 months later, a year later, you will remember the good things that happened, not the ones that, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and holidays are a particularly rough time, and with Easter coming up here, Easter right around the corner, you know, as far as Easter goes, this has become an interesting holiday because it's almost got the same pull and push that Christmas has, that it is...
Really?
Well, I think so, because I think there is the part that is very religiously significant to people. But then, there's the Easter bunny and the Easter egg part that it really has no religious significance that people also partake in. So if you're doing something, because a lot of people have Easter dinner over at their house. Well, first of all, what do you serve for Easter dinner? Because there's no rhyme or reason for that.
That's a good question. I mean, off the top of my head, I would say... different entrees. There are people who want meat, give me the steak, and blah, blah, blah. And then there are others who may fish or chicken or something or other like that, maybe a little bit lighter. Then the sides, and we used to have a really good, some of my college chums after college, we called it, I'm sorry to say, we called it Misfit Easter Dinner. And T.C. Carey, he had a huge barbecue, we're in Texas, huge barbecue grill. I mean, you know, you could, a small family could live in it. And he said, I'm fixing the meat, bring whatever you want. Well, do you need, he said, I don't care. No, but has somebody already done the green beans, you know? And he said, I don't have a clue. He said, bring whatever you want. And amazingly, there were only four or five duplicates. But yet, it turned out to be very good because people could taste potato salad one way, maybe the mayo base, and then the other one is mustard. You know, so it can be stressful. It can. And I know that little bunny. I just want the chocolate egg, actually.
Well, see, and that's where Easter falls in also to the Halloween category, because I believe it's probably the second biggest candy holiday.
You know, I bet you're right.
But the Easter candy, I'm not a big candy person in general, but like those Peeps and the Cadbury eggs. You know, I appreciate the people who like those, but those are not my things.
The Peeps, I remember when I was in junior high school, and my mother was off on book tour, and Daddy was off being a colonel, and so my friends, the sister Judy, my friend, her mother said, "Well, come on over, and look, sure, there's always, you know, always room at the table." They had like a huge basket full of the Peep things. Oh my God! And they had this little 11 or 12 year old girl, and she had never eaten one. And her mother said, "What do you have?" And she goes, because she just stuck the whole thing in her mouth. So maybe we should provide a hint on the safest way to eat your Easter goodies.
Well, you know, I'm not even sure what a Peep is. Is it a candied marshmallow?
Yeah.
Candied marshmallow.
Yes, the candy. It's the marshmallow. And they have them in yellow and purple and all different colors.
Now, does the significance of the color have anything to do with the taste?
I don't think so.
No. So I'm not really sure why they're making them in all these different colors. But
because you eat with your eyes first.
Well, that is true. But I just, you know, I have been to the grocery store. And every year after Easter, I always see a ton of these Peeps left and marked down. Now, I don't know what the problem is there.
You know what? I worked with a company as a consultant, and they were a large candy company. And that was sort of the thing, is like, are we putting too much out on the shelves? And then the CEO said, hey, if they're going to buy it, put more, you know. And the Peeps, I don't know whether this is good or bad, will last a lot longer than a hard-boiled egg.
Well, that is true, and I just, you know, those Cadbury eggs, I'm not even sure. I mean, they're obviously chocolate on the outside, but I don't know what that goo is on the inside of those. But I've known people who really do love those.
Yeah.
But I don't know what that is inside there.
I don't know.
It's not appealing to me.
Okay. So, hey, listeners, here's a favor I'm asking you. Send our host a bunch of Peeps. Beep, 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 beep.
Oh, you know, I could take those Peeps, like, with the fruitcakes left over from Christmas, and I could build a bomb shelter. Because that stuff will last forever. It'll be around forever. Though they just I don't know.
Well, let me share something about that, is that if there is a lot of candy or things like that, if you can separate them out, probably 90% of them can be frozen. So maybe half this you've got out, maybe half it, and see how that goes. And then, indeed, if everybody seems copacetic, then you can freeze it and use it for another holiday.
Well, break out the peeps on 4th of July.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, why not? They'll wait. If nothing else, they'll keep the tablecloths on the table when the wind is blowing. They will not, those things would not let anything move.
I have a hint for that.
Oh.
This was one of my mother's. And if you picnic frequently, and, you know, you bring everything, well, on the tablecloth that you're using, on the back side, sew in a little pocket, maybe about 7 inches long, 7 inches high and about 3 inches wide. And then, I'm waiting. No, but then you can freeze those. They'll last a long time. I don't know whether, you know, what the life expectancy of people.
So you dump the peeps.
And again, with chocolate, you know, put it in the refrigerator. Be sure it's sealed, you know, that so there won't, refrigerator odors won't go into the chocolate, but be sure it's sealed well in a zip bag or something like that.
So you take this pocket in the tablecloth, and mm-hmm. you dump the peeps in there, and that tablecloth will not blow away, the frozen peeps.
No, you pick up some rocks, or bring something to help keep that from blowing away, because we used to picnic here quite often when my husband's son was living with us, Russell. We tried to make it so that he could get to see all San Antonio, and Breckenridge Park is one of our favorite parks in San Antonio. It's really nice, and there are certain parts where it's trees. It's in the wilderness. There's only one, and then the table setups. Some of them have grill possible, that kind of thing. There's usually a restroom, a porta potty or something, within walking distance. So, again, you know, plan what you're going to do. Think it through. And this is what I do when I travel, is I'm like, okay, I stand there and think, okay, where am I going? What am I doing? Okay, speech that night. The next morning, the TV show, and then the next day, oh, yeah, book signing. So those are three entirely different things, and all within the same city. So I had to carry more clothes than I normally do. And one of the producers, who was so cute, he said, Eloise, do you really think people look at your shirt? And I said, yeah, because guess what? I was on your show one time. And it went well, and the whole thing, and everybody's happy, and I got home. And a letter came about a day or two after I came home, and it was so sweet. She said, Dear Helmies, we loved seeing you on channel, you know, with so-and-so and so, but was your blouse unbuttoned for a reason?
Oh.
One of the buttons, and ladies will know, the buttons that go where where your chest is, you know, if that's not, if you, and I said, no. Oh, she goes, oh, don't worry about it. We just thought that was going to be one of your hints, and you didn't have time to finish it up. I said, you know what, that was really what it was.
You know, that's interesting that you bring that up, because for a period of time, one or two, I can't remember how long it was, I did a television show, and it was a panel show, and it was me, another gentleman, and a lady that were on there every week, give or take.
Mm.
And we would tape those shows. We would. Mm. It was on 5 days a week, a half hour a day. So we would tape all the shows in one day.
Gotcha.
And what was interesting about that was that when we started, the first day we showed up to tape the five episodes, and people knew how that's how we were going to do it,
mm-hmm.
was that, you know, the gentleman and myself just showed up, and the lady had five different tops with her. And I said, well, what's that all about?
What?
Yeah, she had her top on, but then she had five different other tops with her.
Oh, that she would change.
That she changed
or something, right?
In between taping, she would change her shirt.
Yeah.
So it looked like she wasn't wearing the same thing every
day.
Oh,
absolutely. When I used to fly to L.A. and I would do one show, Gary Collins, Our Magazine, and again the third Thursday of every month, and one show would be live. And that was an hour show. And then we would tape two or three other shows after that with just me. And I would even change my outfit a little bit, maybe a different blouse or pull my hair up or something or other. And then they would just kind of do their show, and this was sort of like a drop-in.
Well, it was interesting because I remember her telling us, because we are... because myself and the other gentleman just had the same clothes on, and I remember her saying, you know, or me saying to her, I said, you know, I don't know that people will really notice, and she said, women will notice
yes.
it with
yes.
me. And you know what, the entire time we did that show, well, I said 1 or 2 years, I can't remember, but the other gentleman and I, we never changed. But she did, and, you know, nobody ever said anything to us, but...
Hey, you know what? It depends. I mean, it depends the audience, you know, who are your viewers. As you said, you know, women in general are really more concerned about how they look. You know, my father was like, well, I just can put a suit on. And they're like, okay. But... so if it's comfortable for them, it should be comfortable with you.
Well, it was fascinating to me because women were criticizing another woman, but they would not criticize the men. And if you look, you know, honestly on the news, I'm sure they're changing clothes every day, but the men look like they have the same sport coat on every day. They look like they have the same white shirt on, the same
tie. They
probably
do.
Right. But the women on television, different jewelry, different shirt.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I carried different jewelry and 3 to 4 different scarves because you can change the whole outfit. I think I did a book on it or something or other. You can change your whole outfit with a scarf. You can wear the same shirt. Say it's a shirt with a stand-up collar. Yeah. All right, so maybe wear the scarf around your neck and it hangs out. And then the next one is maybe you unbutton the top, second or third one down, fold it in with your hands, and then you can put a scarf and tuck it in like an ascot would be, and it's an entirely different look.
You know, I guess, and maybe it's because it's how I watch television, is that if I was watching a show Monday and I watch the same show Tuesday, unless I was seeing the show on Monday again, I would not remember
Very few people do. No, you're right. And very few people do. And years ago, I was really good, close friends with a host on a morning talk show in San Antonio. And I would do theirs like once a month. Actually, I did what they called the Heloise Triangle. I would do San Antonio, my town, and it was always during sweeps, you know, the ratings periods, and then I'd go to Houston and do their morning show, and then go to Dallas and do their morning show, and somebody said, oh my God, did you, I said, I'm wearing the same clothes, it's three different cities.
Well, yeah, and you know, I'll tell you, it was funny, and I don't know why this springs to my head, but this is a good topic, especially at Easter, because Easter is all about how people dress, women especially. New shoes, new dresses, new hats. That's one of the few times of the year people still wear hats. But it's interesting because I remember years ago, and I don't know why this sticks out, but I remember seeing Barbara Walters on a show, and she was talking about how she had worn the same outfit when she guested on the Oprah Winfrey show that she had worn when she taped an interview with somebody else. And she said she just keeps everything.
Oh, yeah.
You know, she doesn't go out and buy new clothes all the time. So I thought that was interesting.
Well, it is, and also that's a hint we can share, too. Is if you're going to buy, I mean, the whole Easter outfit, and a lot of people do, that's perfectly fine. But when you get home and you're done, either separate the items, you know, the skirt and the jacket, okay, and then the next one, you know, the pants, that's the thing. And then next year, you can pull out one piece and add a different skirt, wear black pants, you know, something rather like that, and it looks like a whole new outfit.
Absolutely. Heloise, with about 5 minutes left here, April Fools coming up. Now, do you like the April Fools?
I think as long as it's not going to give me a heart attack.
That's always positive. Then you don't have to worry about the eulogy.
Well, exactly. Because, you know, some people, if you know the person and you know that they're going to pull a joke or they're going to have something, then it's a little fun game. But if you don't know the person or maybe even the company, I'd ask around to see.
I've always felt that thing, that day, just doesn't go well, because if people have a lot on their mind, they're not even thinking about it, and it's not like people announce it that morning on the news, and people will walk into situations, and you can really, you think it's funny, but you can really, if somebody's on the emotional brink and you don't know it,
exactly,
you can really cause a problem.
And that is one of the mottos is if you're thinking you're gonna, think not. If you're thinking out of the box, you may want to ask somebody, do you think this is too much? Or, you know, we hope that the receiver of the gift or whatever it is, it's they love it. You know, see, my father was very easy to shop for. He played golf, you know, and I can remember even as a kid, my mother would go to the commissary and buy a whole box of cigars. A whole box. Mother, we're going to do this. And we'd wrap it up, and he'd say, oh, just what I needed.
Well, you know, and like the fake whatever and all that, you know, people can still get away with that pretty easy. But, you know, there are some people, and it's strange to say, but they are trying so hard in their own mind, I think, to be convincing that they want to get the person and then yell April Fools. Yeah, that they sometimes say things that they don't even realize. Like, I remember one time somebody said to somebody, you know, oh my goodness, the phone didn't even ring, but they said, oh my goodness, so-and-so was just in a car accident. Now, they yelled April Fools very quick.
No.
Yeah, that's awful.
I'll stand the ground on this one. That is not an April Fool.
No, it's terrible.
That is not an April Fool. No, absolutely not. All right, last quick thing, too, about my mother.
Yes.
She also already picked out her headstone and had it engraved. She didn't want to have anything left to chance. Well, on one side, it's Heloise, every housewife's friend, and then the other stuff. And then my mother had a wicked sense of humor, too. On the other side, it said, -30-. And in journalism, that means the end.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. I get these letters from people. They say, well, we were in San Antonio, and we saw your mother's grave. What does dash 30 dash mean?
You know what, it would have been, because again, I'm into this walking in cemeteries, seeing, I always appreciate when you see one. A good one there would have been, and I like what she did, but would have been, vinegar doesn't cure everything. You never know.
You never know. I'm sure that somebody's going to come up with, vinegar's so versatile for them. You know, beauty things and stuff like that. And then, of course, salads and food and dressings. And then apple cider vinegar, which is still vinegar. And we just love it.
Oh, anybody. If you can't get something out or you can't get something fixed, vinegar is the go-to, without question. Heloise, it's great to be in spring here, and we will talk again. It's still in the spring, in the middle of April. I look forward to that. It's always a pleasure being with you, and hope you continue to enjoy the spring season.
I will, and I'll see you all next time.
Thank you, Heloise.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Always a fun visit. When Heloise is on the show, you learn, you educate, and you enjoy. Glenn Kobel coming up next. I believe James Anderson's the guest today, 10 a.m. till 12 noon, and then Swap Shop, 12:10 to 1 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio. For this day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout. Everybody's got a picture, a phone. And is anything private?
No, not much is private, but I'm a publicity I dropped my pen.